Well, good morning to you, and we have announcements before we enter into worship service. I want to welcome you, and I want to welcome Donald Temple. Donald, nice to have you, friend of our friend Mr. Fry. I hesitate to call you Sonny sometimes formally, but that's who we know. So as far as announcements, along with a welcome, I have a number of things that we'd like to give to you for your attention. Tonight, at 7 o'clock after hymn time, our brother Richard will also be ministering the word concerning from the Confession of Faith. And then Wednesday, I have before me the annual Sovereign Grace Bible Conference held at West Milton at the Grace Baptist Church. And we've decided, as we have usually, rather than having our Bible study and prayer meeting here, we'd go down to West Milton and hear Brother Tom Henry and Gary Scott. Gary Scott and I went to the same school together. He's a pastor of New Hyde Baptist Church in New Hyde Park, New York. And Tom Henry, he's an assistant pastor at the Bible Baptist Church in Maplewood, Missouri. So I hope at 7 o'clock that you'll be able to come. You'll enjoy the time there. You know, if you're going down 15, you get off at the West Milton exit, and you turn right and the church is on the right. That's on Wednesday. Now on Thursday, Bob and Peggy Klotz have their 53rd wedding anniversary. So you're getting your hands all warmed up, brother. That's fun. And Nathaniel Waltz is 11 years old on Thursday. Got you there, Nathaniel. Congratulations. According to my calendar, daylight saving time ends next Lord's Day. Is there a change to that? Next Lord's Day?
November 2nd.
Well, my calendar is up to date, but it says that. Make a correction there, will you? November the 2nd. Thank you. Well, the daylight saving time changes, you know, it's always 1 hour back. Now, I have two missionary letters, and it's our custom to read missionary letters in the announcement time. And I'm going to read them in chronology. The first one, which I received, and then the second one, the Lord willing, next Lord's Day. But before I do, I have here an obituary of Timothy Ulmer. Timothy Ulmer, you probably heard this week. He used to, as a little boy, he came here. He result of an injury and a work-related accident. He fell on his head from 20 feet, head first. And some of you know Charlie and Peggy Ulmer. Tells about him. And I also posted it on the bulletin board. And you can see a picture there. Not real well because my printer didn't do a good job, but you can see a picture of Timmy Ulmer there. And the memorial service is being held next Sunday at 3 o'clock at the St. John's United Church of Christ in Lewisburg, Buffalo Road. So there's the Timothy Ulmer, and we're going to pray for them. But first, the letter that has come, a missionary letter came first, is Ken and Kath Ashcroft. And then we have a letter here from Joe Serapoli, which the Lord willing will read next Lord's Day. Will you hear this missionary letter? They are English, and they go to Romania. And it goes September, October 2008. Beloved ones in Christ, we're so grateful to God that who made it possible for us to see you all again this summer face to face. And he was here. They were. It was such an encouragement to see the saints who so faithfully support us. In so many ways, words are inadequate to express our heartfelt thanks to all. We want you to know how proud that we are proud to be linked with a fellowship who believe in giving priority to the preaching of God's word. You will be surprised to hear that we arrived back in the United Kingdom 1 week earlier than we had expected. The reason for this was because the last weekend of our itinerary of meetings in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Kath had a fall and broke her wrist. She slipped on the wet ground. and so it was necessary to go to the hospital, Hazleton, for x-rays, and the consultant confirmed that it had broken in several places and advised an operation in order to put some plates or pins to strengthen the wrist. However, they placed the arm in a cast and told us to think over the advice given regarding the operation. So now, in the United Kingdom, Cath has decided to let their wrist heal naturally. So, in view of all that has happened, it means that our plans to visit Romania will be within a few days of our return to the United Kingdom have been canceled for the time being. The Lord's word is to us in the present ordained circumstances come like this, and he quotes Psalm 27, verse 14, in which says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And here's good news regarding the book project entitled Heaven and Hell in the Romanian language by Pastor Ten Dunley of Banner of Truth Publication. We mentioned to you in our last prayer and praise letter, newsletter, that it was our desire to have the book printed in the United States and distribution made to all the Romanian churches across the whole of the United States of America. This book has now been printed 3,000 copies, so please pray that God will bless this literature outreach and as the congregations will have a better understanding of the reality of heaven and hell. Yours through grace alone, Ken and Kath Ashcroft. Now, with the announcements, let us enter into a worship service and I'd like us to sing concern our Lord Jesus, sitting in a place of honor and dignity, which is at the right hand of God, and how that we might be able to live above this world from Colossians, our study of Colossians. And so will you sing with me hymn number 144, the great physician now is near, that's talking about our Lord Jesus, 144. Before we leave that hymn, I just want us to just kind of look at that again, the last stanza. You see, and when to that bright world above we rise to be with Jesus, we'll sing around the throne of love, his name, the name of Jesus. And with that, let's sing another hymn concerning the throne of God, 143, just one page back.
Majestic, sweetest, is the throne above.
I would like to read four verses for you, and in respect for the Word of God, would you stand with me as I read these four scripture verses, and then let's remain standing for our prayer together. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let us pray. And our Father, how good it is that we're able to call you our Father through faith in our Lord Jesus, and you have adopted us. You have changed us when we have come to know the Lord Jesus by repentance and faith. And so this morning we desire that your glory may be lifted up in our worship time together, and you'd be pleased enough to be with us as you promised you would, and that we might sense your presence, our hearts to be responsive to the Word of God, and that we may have experienced this morning something that we have not perhaps before experienced, and that is a closer walk with our Lord Jesus, our salvation. And so we pray for your presence in our midst this morning. We pray for the working of the Spirit of God in the lives of those who love thee and who are becoming more like Christ. We pray for those who know not Christ savingly, and that you would save the lost sinners. We desire that we might know in this life in which we live here on this earth, that we might do those things that will please you. This morning we're looking at the subject of how to live beyond or above the world. We're thankful for giving us the privilege of being in this world and taking care of us, giving us responsibility and helping one another. And we thank you for our country. We desire your will be done in our country. And as it is a time of change, perhaps, Lord, that we might understand that you lift up men, you put men down, leaders. We desire your will, your perfect will in the matter, which is in a couple of weeks. We pray that our country might understand your goodness. We've been favored in so many ways. You blessed us in so many ways. The freedom that we have. And we ask, Lord, that we may have continued freedom, and that we might be able to worship you in peace and in truth. And so, our Father, we pray for your blessing upon us. We know that there are people that are going through difficult times with being unemployed and concerned about their situations. We ask for help, especially for those who know Christ, but also for all men in general. We pray for direction for them in the meeting of needs. We pray for the Omer family this morning, having lost Timothy. We ask, Lord, that your comfort be with them and help them. And may they say that there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. And it was in your, according to your will, that Timothy would pass away. We thank you for what he has done. We thank you, Lord, that that he acknowledged thee. And we don't know his eternal state, but we are grateful for what he has done. And we ask, Lord, especially for wife and children. And then, our Father, we ask that you would help us in this matter of sin. May we see this morning the need for forgiveness. May we see that which is so horrible, and we need to see our forgiveness of sins through our blessed Lord Jesus, who loved us, gave his life for us, took our sins, and was buried and rose again, sits at the place of honor, the right hand of dignity, and it's finished. And our Father, we understand the day is coming that we also will rest from our labors, and that we'll be in your presence around the throne of the Lord Jesus. And so we ask this morning that we may sense afresh that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords, and that your kingdom is on this earth. And we pray that it may increase, and there may be increase of your precious word. Help us as a church. Help us as individuals to please you, for we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Will you sing with me another hymn? And that is hymn number 530. Behold the throne of God. That hymn was an addendum to the matter of praying this morning, and where we're invited to ask the Lord what thou wilt do. Now, before the message, will you sing with me 551, Hiding in Thee, 551. Please be seated. Would you find the book of Colossians and the third chapter in the first four verses? Colossians chapter 3. I have already gone over this third chapter as a bird's eye view or an overview of the whole book. That is the chapter, not the book, the chapter 3. And I have found that there are 14 required commands for godly living. And I did spend some time sharing those 14 required commands for godly living. Now that was an overview, but I still can't get away from the first part of the chapter, where we're told to seek those things which are above. And I want us to look at the possibility that we can live above the world. Now I must share something with you. That is a subject that is spiritual and not intellectual. And so an intellectual subject is easier, I believe, than to attempt something that it has to do with spiritual emphasis. And so I must admit to you that this week has been a difficult week, and I share with you in case you think that a preacher has nothing to do. I have not been well. I'm feeling better. Praise the Lord for that. And there's been medical attention, and there hasn't been a lot of time to give to a full-fledged message. But I do have some things for us to consider in this passage, verses 1 through 4, how we might be able to live above the world. Now, the way of the Apostle Paul in his writing of the letters in the New Testament, he did this. He would establish a doctrinal, theological truths before he gave you the practical. And I think that's the way to go, because today's generation and culture, they want us to give us like four steps on how to be happy and just something like that, throw at us the how to do, and not give the background of theological and the biblical aspect of it. And the Apostle Paul, by example, he said, now listen, if you're going to talk about some spiritual matter like the how to live above the world, you got to see the first two chapters of Colossians, how that speaks about the Lord Jesus and who he is and how you can be in him and be saved, and you need his spirit, and so you have the theological, the doctrinal aspect foundation. You can't build out here something without a good foundation, and the same thing with the spiritual things. Get a good foundation, and the same thing in the book of Romans. He spent the first 11 chapters on how the wonderfulness of salvation, and then he says, brethren, I beseech you, and he says, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world. Give us 11 chapters before he tells us how not to be conformed to this world. And so this morning, I'm trusting that you have some background, and that you'll see that a doctrinal foundation is necessary. So two things, there's two commands I see in these four verses. I see the command that we're to seek those things which are above. All right, I see that in verse 1. And then I see the second command that is set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. That has to do with your mind. And so those two commands I want us to consider this morning, and I'm going to do like we used to do in the old days, kick some tires. What do you mean, kick some tires? You don't do that anymore. We got buy good tires, but there was a time when you buy a car, especially a used car, that you have to ground kick the tires a little bit and see whether they were going to last, before they didn't last very long. Those of you younger generation, you understand. You don't understand that, but before you'd buy, you'd kick some tires. And I'm going to kick some tires this morning. By the way, I just want to say this. The Lord willing, I'd like to show you next Sunday how to kill. Boy, did that jar you? Show Christians how to kill? And I'm a conscientious objector for the most part. Well, then why are you going to talk about how to kill? Well, I'll tell you something. The Word of God says, mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, such things as sexual things, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and evil concupiscence, and covetousness. And these things will bring upon the wrath of God that comes upon the children of disobedience. We got to learn how to kill these things. So if you come next Lord's Day, I won't bring my double-barrel shotgun, but I'll bring this sword, this Word of God, and show you how you might be able to kill some of these things that God's wrath will be upon if we don't kill them. Now that's startling to me, who have some non-resistance background, to say I'm going to preach on how to kill, the Lord willing. So I hope you'll come. I think that's going to be a help to you. Now, back to the passage that we're looking at. What does it mean we're supposed to, in verse 1, seek those things which are above? Does that mean that I'm to talk about heaven this morning, where there's no pain, no sickness, and there's just praise and glory? It's not talking about heaven as such. It says you want to consider with Christ. He's sitting at the right hand of God. That's a place of prominence and dignity and honor. And it's a place where he says, that's what you need to consider one of these days. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he said it is finished. His work is done. I know he makes intercession for us, but basically his main job has been done. He took our sins and give us salvation if we turn from our sins and trust him. And the day is coming when we will rest and we'll be finished from the work that we're doing here on this earth, and we'll be with him if you know his Savior. And so I want us to see what it means. Keep singing, keep seeking or pursuing. What? The word seek means pursue or keep pursuing. It's a present imperative. It is something you don't stop at. You keep doing. You keep doing it. It's imperative. Do this. Keep doing something. Well, what do you want me to do, Lord? He said, I want you to be thinking about those things which are above you, about Christ. And he sits at the right hand. You see, we're here now, and there's life here. You've heard the expression, well, I got to be careful that I don't become a person, don't become so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Hey, show me some people like that, will you? They're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I guess I'd like to see somebody like that. Are you afraid of being so heavenly minded that you'd be no earthly good? I tell you what, you better be afraid of. You're so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. So earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. And I don't want to talk about either one of those. I want to talk somewhere in between. And that is this minute you can be living above the world. See, I believe that preaching isn't the only calling. I believe that if a man has a job of working on the highway, that's a necessary calling too. How else would you have gotten here this morning? Gone across creeks. No bridges. Big holes. So having men out there working on the road, to me, that is a calling and necessary. And you need to look at them, not just as, well, they're just, they're service people. They're laborers, they do amount to something. We all amount to something, you know that. When God created his city, he said it was good. Now, I know we have fallen sinners through our grandparents, Adam and Eve, and they messed up things, but if you'd been back there, you'd have messed up too. So would have I. And so we're all sinners. And knowing that we're all sinners, we need to be saved. But I want to say this. If you have the idea that this business of living above the world, I think that we can be heavenly minded but earthly good. Sure, why not? You want to be a blessing to you. God give you a family, take care of your family. You want to be a blessing to others. You want to be a help to others. And so don't give me that talk that I'm afraid that if I do this, I'll be so heavenly minded, I'll be no earthly good. Show me somebody like that. Or I'll be so, but I will show you a lot. Thousands upon thousands. What will you show me thousands upon thousands? People are so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. Well, now that's quite an indictment. You see, the natural man, he understands not the things of God. You talk to him, he says, what? I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds like Ringo Rangley. The Bible says a natural man, unless he's saved, he doesn't understand spiritual things. And so all you know is earthly, because that's where we are. We're earthlings. And that's our big deal. So now what are you trying to tell me this morning? I'm trying to tell you this passage that looking at this morning tells us how that we can live above the earth and yet be an asset here. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And that, you see, this old world can so fill your mind that you're no heavenly good. How am I gonna do this? Well, it says the answer in verse 1 in the last part. You need to consider where Christ and how he's sitting at the right hand of God. And he says, now, if you've been risen with Christ, the first part of verse 3, that word if is assumption. He's writing to the church at Colossae, and he said, I'm assuming that you have been risen with Christ, you have died with Christ, and you were buried with Christ, and now you've been risen with Christ, and this is all, speaking metaphorically, happens to us upon becoming new creatures and being born from above. Now then, assuming that you have risen with Christ, you ought to be seeking those things which are above. And how to do that is consider and meditate upon the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, the place of honor and dignity. And he said at the cross, it's finished. And now he's resting from his labors. And he said, one of these days, it's going to be finished for you. Now, will you be on the right hand, enter into glory? Or are you going to be on the left hand, which speaks about destruction? Speaks about hell. See, we're all going to be resurrected. But some are going to be resurrected unto life. And some are going to be resurrected unto death. Now, let's just make it clear this morning. No use talking in relevant ways. You're either going to go to be with the Lord Jesus, or you're either going to die, and you're going to go to hell. Now, that's pretty plain. What do you want me to do? Dress it up? That's what the Lord Jesus said. Now, then you've got to figure out a little something here. Upon the Lord's coming, and we'd be resurrected, and where's your destiny? You have some idea. Most of you have been pretty good students. You have some idea. You know a little bit of what's going on. And so there is a most horrible place if we don't understand Christ and be with him when he sits at the right hand of God. Now, have you yet learned how to die? You said the Bible says that we've died with Christ. Now, this is spiritual. Have you learned how to die to the things of the world? And that's what it's putting to us this morning. Is that practical? Indeed it is. You see, a dead man, I walk up to a dead man and said, what do you want for supper tonight? He goes, what's the matter with him? He's really crazy. Dead man's not interested in eating supper. A man who's dead in his sins, he's not interested in spiritual matters. God needs to change him. Needs to be born from above. Needs to be saved. A dead man is happy with the tomb. What's wrong with that? Would you be happy lying in a tomb? Say, no, I wouldn't be happy lying in a grave. No. You still have life. The thing of it is, the Bible says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, now wait a minute. I look at all you and you're all life. You're alive here this morning. You're breathing. You have intellect. You can figure some things out. And say, but the Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sin if you don't know Christ. Now how could you be dead? It's a matter of the soul. We are, by nature, tripartites, which means the Lord made us spirit, soul, and body. Now, the spirit is that which goes back to be with the Lord. And the soul has to do with emotions. Even dogs have souls. Go out here and kick my dog, and he's going to cry. Don't do it, because he's a loving dog. But an animal has emotions. And an animal has some instincts. And I believe that I can prove that they have some intellect. Not the way you have, though. They can't solve problems. But the instinct, they can do it. But we all have bodies. So we are spirit, soul, and body. Now if my soul is dead, my emotions then concerning spiritual things is also dead. I couldn't care less. I got more important things. I have my hobbies to play with. Like one man told me, he said, I hate Sunday. By the way, he was a church man. A plain man. He said, I hate Sunday. It's boring. Can't do anything. Wow. The Bible says, the hymn writer said, Sedea, rest in gladness. When you say, I hate Sunday, it's a boring day, you're one of those religious kooks that have been taught that you can't do anything. I'm not saying the Sabbath is to be violated. It's to be honored with worship of the Lord, fellowship of the saints of God, think upon the things of God and take some rest, and help those who may be in need. There's deeds of mercy that could be done on Sunday afternoon. You know that, don't you, friend? Instead of just going to bed. Now, that's one thing, and if you're not well, that's another thing. But there's people that could be use some help, nursing homes and so forth, and some folk that are in need. Maybe it'd be better for you to get up out of the bed Sunday afternoon and go do something that'll please the Lord. Unless you're so earthly bound that you must do that. And some of us may be, if we're not well. Not well. But the Bible says, and we spoke to this last it was last Sunday, that as a Christian, my life is in the life of Christ. Galatians 2:20. And we spent time looking at that big sandwich. Ken's here. I use Ken's illustration. So I guess I'll go back to Galatians 2:20 since Ken's here. And Ken, I used your illustration of something and I thought it was good. Galatians 2:20, about our life in Christ. This is spiritual. I use an illustration. You say, what are you talking about? Our lives, if we are Christians, is in the life of Christ. And then, as it is in the life of Christ, verse 20, you see, you're crucified, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, that's where we are, aren't we, as Christians, if you know the Lord, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I said, that's a sandwich. And the first part has to do by justification by faith, and that is, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That's the top part of that's the slice of bread on the top. And the bottom slice of bread is concerning the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's justification by faith. And all in between the filling is sanctification, becoming more like the Lord Jesus. I said, you need to have make sandwiches like Ken Knighton makes sandwiches. I couldn't believe it, Ken. First time he invited me down to have a sandwich. Big sandwich, filled. Well, I'm used to just a slice of summer soft cheese back at home and some margarine and two pieces of white bread from my brown lunch at school. Right. This is a great sandwich. Justification. God says, and he looks at me, and I know Christ is my Savior. He's a great judge. He looks at me, and he said, what's your problem? And I give him my, you know, this is what happened, Your Honor, and so forth. I'm a sinner, and so forth. And my lawyer says, I took his place. I paid for his sin. That's the Lord Jesus. And the great judge of all says, not guilty. Justification by faith means just as if I never sinned. The great judge of all says, not guilty. I'm a free man. Wonderful to be justified by faith, not by works. And in between, we are to live Christ. We are to become more like Christ. We are to learn how to be above the earth, live above the earth. The earth is necessary. Do what you can when you're here. So Ken, if you hold it against me, you just have to take it, brother. But I think it's wonderful. Now, you do know that if you do become a more Christ-like, the people are not going to love you more. Do you know that? Did they love him? Well, you say some of them did, but generally speaking, did the world love the Lord Jesus? No. They said, crucify him. The religious bunch. Yeah. The religious crowd said, crucify him. The Pharisees. The Hebrews. And so if you think that becoming more Christ-like and learning how to live above the world, so to speak, that you'll be such a wonderful person, everybody will think you're so beautiful and wonderful. They won't. They even may even start to say, you know, I think my neighbor is so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Because he comes over to me and he talks to me about spiritual things. That's all he talks about. You know, it is kind of nice to spend some time with your neighbors. And I haven't arrived, have you? Spend some time with your neighbors, talk to them. Yes. Maybe take a pie over. Yes. You know, love the Lord. He may have a different attitude about you and accept you thinking that you're a holy roller, a holy Joe. I tell you that because if you're listening this morning, you say, well, I want to learn how to live above the world. I want to warn you something. That if you get to a place where you're walking with the Lord Jesus and you're doing what is the right thing and you've killed some of these things, you learn how to kill some of these things that are causing people to die and the wrath of God upon them, they're going to say to you, well, I guess my neighbor is so heavenly minded he's no earthly good. Don't let him say that about you. Show that you believe that if you're saved that you do good works. Listen, the Bible speaks about that we're partakers of God's nature. And the Bible says in the natural man, the lost man, is at enmity with God. He is in their enemies. No God. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear that stuff. Let me do my thing. I'm happy. Don't get down on the nitty-gritty things of life. I like the way things are. Don't bother me. And even in your own family. The Bible speaks about the disharmony may come in the family if you know the Lord. I warn you. Because some people think if you become a Christian, everything is wonderful. I tell you, the fact of the matter is we're only here a short time. And if we know the Lord Jesus, eternity is a long time. And what a place it is. I could preach about heaven this morning. What a glorious place it is. I could also preach about the other place. If you think that they're all going to go to heaven, we're not all going to go to heaven. Why did Christ die for all going to heaven? He died for sinners. And yeah, if you don't acknowledge you're a sinner, you're going to hell. See, that's awful. I know it is. So I tell you about it. But you see, if you say, now, I don't want to become too, what shall I say? I don't want to become too radical. I kind of like the way it is. What do you mean the way it is? Well, hey, I think that as a Christian I can be like the world for the most part, and I'm living in the world and I act like the world, talk like the world, and walk like the world. I don't want to bring offense. Is it possible that a person could think that way, say, the Lord's done so much for me. He's loved me. He's died in my place. He's taken my sins. He's promised me a home in heaven. And so I say to myself, hey, I'm not going to be a radical. I'm not going to just be nonconformist. I want to live in such a way that my neighbors will not be offended. And that's what the church is doing today. They have entertainment. Yeah, entertainment. And so the world says, what do they do down there? I said, well, we have quartets and we got drums back here. And we got guitars up here. And yes, we got a real show. Got some of the best, which I doubt. Anyway, so yeah, I go there, I feel comfortable. But I go to a place to preach the word of God, and he tells me I need to be saved. And if I don't know Christ as my Savior, I'll go to hell. He tells me I'm supposed to learn how to live above the world. I'm happy the way it is. No, you shouldn't be happy. If you know Christ, it's like a man who's out on the road driving a truck. We put the booklets in the truck stop down here in Milton Truck Place. And you walk in there, and there's phone booths all around the place. And here are these truck drivers. They're calling on the phone. Now, I suppose they're using more cell phones, as that's becoming more. And they're talking to their wives. Let me tell you something. You're talking to your husband as far as Christ, the one who loved you and gave his life for you. You see, if there isn't a warmth, if there isn't a genuine warmth between a man, a truck driver, for instance, and his wife, if they're not really knit together, that's sad. But if they're really knit together, he gets homesick just a few miles out on the turnpike. I tell you, it's true. Do you get homesick for knowing how to be more closer to the Lord Jesus? I want us to be that closer, Lord. I want to do that which will please you. I want to have that warmth because one of these days I'm going to die. I'm going to be with you. Oh, no, I want to be more like the world. Don't ask me to do anything radical. Yes, I know. I see this. It's hard for us to understand. The Bible does say that things that are seen, trees, beautiful. Things that are seen are all temporal. They're transient. They pass away. The Bible says this old earth is going to be burned with fire. And yet we put so much stock in it. And yet I talked to a man. I said, where do you work? And he said, oh, I work down so and so. You like it? Yeah, I like it. Boy, that's good. I like people here that like their jobs. And I can hear a man told me just last Sunday night, he says, when I come home from my job, I leave it there. That's nice. If you're that kind of person, God's given you some job, and you work your 8 hours or whatever it takes, and you get home, it's nice to be able to leave it there. And what are you going to do with that time? See, I don't have any time. I'm a busy man. What are you going to do about the time that God has given to you after work time? You going to read the Word of God? Well, I'm going to watch TV probably, eh? Meditate upon the things of God. This world is transient. This world is temporary. That which is spiritual is everlasting. Can we get that in our minds? Colossians 1, 3rd chapter, chapter 1, or verse 1 to 5. Can you get it in your mind? Some of us can't, hardly can get it in our minds. Pay attention to the work that God's given to you. But when you get home, don't you think spend time with the family? Spend time thinking about the Lord's goodness in your life. So it isn't just all this whole world. Yes, do have a feeling to be, our longing to be more like the Lord Jesus and to be the kind of person that He would want us to be. You know, we've had these hot air balloons come across here. What, 2 or 3 of them landed in our field? One came down so low, the 80-year-old lady, she said, I touched the leaves of your tree. You know how to go higher with those balloons? Well, turn the gas up. Yeah, that helps. But throw out the sand. Want to go higher? The ballasts. Throw them out, and you'll go higher. We've got a lot of sand in our lives. Some of us are not willing to throw it out. We're happy being earthlings. The Word of God says, we're to, verse 1, I didn't say this, a command of God. Seek those things which are above. That's a command of God. We got too much sand in our lives. Throw some of it out. You practice what you preach? Haven't arrived. But I try to. By the way, let me talk to your kids. You talk to my kids. You think you're doing real well? Say, now confidentially, son, how's your old man doing? How about your mom? By the way, you shouldn't call you old man. You're to honor your father and your mother, but somehow this generation will say, my old man. And that's not right. I got reprimanded for that one time. Anyway, they'll tell you whether you know anything about this. See, I don't see anything, my dad. Hey, he's just like the neighbors. He does the same thing, talks the same thing. No, there's no difference. Oh, yeah, he goes to church. I don't see any difference in him. My mom, same thing. Are your kids saying that? All they see is a worldling, an earthling. Rather than getting rid of the sand, they're taking more sand in, becoming more earthly. That's a fearful thing. To ask someone real close to us, give your evaluation of your dad or your mom, your husband or your wife. If I would say to you, I'm a perfect man, my wife ought to cry out, liar! Because I'm not perfect. The only perfection I have is in Christ, and He's imputed to me His righteousness. When the Father looks upon me, He doesn't see old Bill Robbins. He sees His Son, His robe of righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ upon Him. He's my beloved, and I love Him. And if He gets out of place, I'll put Him back on the track. I may have to give Him out the woodshed treatment, and God will give you a woodshed treatment. I don't ask for woodshed treatments. I don't want it. Maybe you do. If you do, then don't pay attention to Colossians 3, verse 1. Don't pay attention to it all. Don't listen to that command of God. Do your own thing. What are some things that you're loath to part with that are so precious to you? You'll probably find they're temporal. Transit. They'll soon be gone. Therefore, the command, seek those things which are above. That's where Christ is. Yeah, but the second command there is also, I take my mind, I'm setting my, verse 2, set my affections on things above and not on things there. Almost sounds the same thing. It isn't really. You know, it's a strange thing. If I go out here in the porch and take some of my honey and put it in a little container with some little bowl, flies come. You ever watch a fly? It's true, they do this. There was a time we had so many flies we didn't know what to do, but you, this generation doesn't know that, but we had flies just so thick, terrible. But flies, they ought to come to that honey. And if you watch a fly when it comes down into the honey, they usually hold up their wings, like this, I guess, aren't they? They hold their wings up a little bit like that when they walk into the honey. That's pretty smart. Why? Well, if you got to get out of there, you can still fly. But some get so anxious about the sweetness that they actually will get their wings with honey on them. Now then, I can't do anything. We're like those flies. We're not careful about keeping their wings dry. We're getting all messed up with this old world. And some say, this is so wonderful. Oh, wonderful! This old world is so wonderful! And get our wings all messed up and we can't fly. And destroyed. God says He'll do that. Oh my! Don't want to be that way. But there should be seen some affection for the Lord. It should be noticeable. But I tell you, this verse, these two commands here, verse 1 and 2, it says, listen, friends, it's true. If your interest is only gaining the worldly, the earthly things. He said, listen, brethren, friends, listen to me. Don't get in that rut. That's the way of the world. You need to seek heavenly things and to be heavenly minded. Don't be gathering more things and more things and pull you down. More sand, pull you down. You have to have shelter. You have to have food and all those things that are necessary. I'm not making light of that. But don't let it become your all in all. You see, it just becomes so laborious that we don't have time for the Lord. By the way, it's going to soon be over. Some of us old gray heads, if we're thinking, when I work for the transportation service, the old gray heads thought they're going to live forever. They're all gone. They're all gone. You're going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. One of these days, maybe sooner than you think. But you young folk, listen up too. You die at 40 years of age, that's pretty young as far as I'm concerned. And then these folk that are in their 20s and their 30s, they also pass away. What's the warning? The warning is this, friends. It's soon over, and you'll find that when it really comes down to it, the bottom line, some of you business people, bottom line, and that's good. I was in business too, bottom line. Not only what I took in, but what I spent. And to get good records, you not only put down what you get, but what you spend. And if you're spending more than you're getting, you're in trouble. That's a good word for churches too, by the way. Anyway, it's not really satisfying. The media would tell you, that, oh, you need this. If you would get this, then you'd be satisfied. But when you get something like that, how long does it last? To the first ding? An offender or something like that. It's just not satisfying. God made us that we really find that we are not satisfied, but we still have it convinced that we know more than God, and so we keep on getting things, hoping that we'll find something. The Bible says it has a merry-go-round. Around and around. I call that a merry-go-round. We go around and around. Not satisfied. Well, is there any satisfaction then? Yes. Christ, who sits at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us, a place of honor and glory. So you, one of these days, if you've been risen with me, you're going to be resurrected. You're going to be with me, a place of rest and glory. Oh, that sounds pretty good. But you cannot satisfy a hungry soul with the things of this world. You don't want to believe me. You'll keep on going anyway. You'll say, oh yeah, I will. I'll satisfy. I'll buy this and it'll satisfy me for a while. It says the pleasures of sin is just for a season. Just for a little short time. That's what the Bible says. I tell you, it's like that old fable. You remember the fable? Out in the, along the coast someplace, they had what is called a magnetic rock. And sailors would tell about how that in a boat that you go in that vicinity, that things would happen, strange things would happen. They had nails. The magnetic rock was so powerful, bing, a nail would go. That's when they was a little ways out. And say, well, that's strange. And they keep going towards that magnetic rock. All the metal would go to that rock. You know what happened then. They drowned. And there's magnetic rocks in this old life, dear friends. You say, oh, if I could have that, if I would do that, and then I would be happy, but you can drown. It will not satisfy. Only Christ satisfies. That's what the Word of God says. Now let's see. How do you do it? What do you mean? Well, when I burnt coal, I stored my coal upstairs in the closets. What? You're crazy. What do you do with the things that were precious? Well, I stuck them down in the cellar. Throw them things in the cellar. You have to be insane to do something like that. Don't tell me such dumbness. I'll tell you some dumbness. That we treat this world, the precious things in the basement, basement is where we put it, and the things that are going to be consumed, we put them in our closets. Proverbially speaking, that's our emphasis. The jewels of having sins forgiven, knowing Christ is your Savior, to be able to walk above this world and have satisfaction in this life. Like a man says, I like my job. And be able to say, I like this Christian life. It's a wonderful Christian life. And to know Jesus Christ now on this earth. Man, that's great. And one of these days I'm going to be with him. Yes, this is a Christ-rejecting world. We've got a job to do. And it's easy to be earthly-minded and not to be heavenly-minded. You know, how's your heart this morning? Is it set on getting more and more? Is that what your heart's set on? You're really going to have first class. I'm not going to go second class. I'm not going to be like mom having a bunch of kids and not having much to show for it. We're going to go first rate. I'm not going to go like old grandpap. Yeah, okay. I tell you, there's all kinds of glues. But there's a glue that if you haven't learned yet, is one that'll just nail you right down to it. And you got to find something that'll break that glue, and that's Christ. This old world will glue us. It's a perishing world. It's tangible. It's transit. And we can, says the Bible says here, that we can seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. I know this old culture. This old culture can really grab us. Think about this old world. What do you want to know about the news? I can tell you news. I can tell you about the news. I try to keep up with the news. I can tell you about politics. Isn't that so wonderful? But can you tell me about things above? I can tell you about the weather forecast. Can you tell me about things above? Well, I might. But do you? Something's wrong. That command's not being obeyed. Something's wrong. things above there are not a real concern to you? Oh, I go to church. What's the matter with you? You know, the Pharisees, they were very religious. They dressed it, they looked it, they talked it, they walked it. But they weren't real. And you know, people can be Pharisees. And maybe I'm biased, but some of us who have some German blood in us, we can be Achtung if we want to be. We can grit our teeth and say, I'll do it. But I want to warn you something, in case you think I'm getting away from the Word of God. Will you go back to the second chapter, last part of Colossians, before I get out of here? You know, the people back then, they had a problem. They had what is called legalism, they had asceticism. And they were pulling these things over at the church at Colossae. And verse 20 says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances such as what? Don't touch this, and don't taste that, and don't handle that. What about that? That's religiously speaking. Well, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of worship, a wisdom in will worship, in humility and neglecting of the body, not in the honoring to the satisfying of the flesh. They're tremendous verses. You know what it's saying to you and to me? It says, listen, you're going to be a religious guy? Yep. And how are you going to do it? I'm going to do everything you tell me to do. Okay, I'll do everything you tell me to do. And stand up, sit down, do this. Do this, do that, do this. He said, do it. That's works, by the way. We don't get to heaven by working. But I'm going to be a good Christian. Now, there's a place to be a good Christian. But if you're going this route of legalism, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to wear my clothes a certain way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to talk a certain way. And I'm going to be this religious. He says, you know that legalism, touch not, taste not, handle not stuff? Yeah. You know that's going to perish? That isn't going to pay anything. And that's the commandments and the doctrines of men. You know, that shows that, oh, she's a real godly person. Oh, he's such a godly man. Yeah, that's a show. It's a show, it says in verse 23. That's a show of will worship. I can do it. Pulling my own bootstraps, so to speak. I can do it. It says, but you know, you show some humility. It's false. You may do a lot of fasting. But it says, I tell you, the Bible says, the Word of God says, this is the Word of God. It, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You know what that's saying? You can do all those things and you don't have Christ and you don't pay attention to live for Christ and be not conformed to this world. He said, it won't satisfy you. It's unsatisfying to the old nature. I wish I could emphasize that. I wish my old heart would hear it real good and clear too. You can do all these things, the legalism, asceticism, and all the kind of religious things that you do, and you say, I know it must please the Lord. No, no, no. No, if it's all will worship, if it's all legalism, he said it won't satisfy the flesh. So there's competition here, verse 1 and 2. And I close. The competition is that I'm to seek those things which are above, not the things on the earth. Thinking about the Christ. And I'm not, my mind is to set my affections on things above and not on things of the earth. You know what? It's a competition. Which is it going to be? Is it going to be that on the right? Going to be on the left? Well, I'm satisfied the way it is. Okay. All right, you take the consequences. I want to prize the heavenly. I want to treasure things that are above more. And I want to do that which will please the Lord. Well, look at the Lord, it says in verse 1. Just look at the Lord. Don't look at the church. Don't look at the preacher. Don't look at the officers. Just look at the Lord. And there he is. He's at a place of honor and dignity. He's sitting at the right hand of God. His work has been done. He said it was finished. And he says one of these days he's resting. Yes, he is. He's resting. And he said one of these days you're going to die. And I'd like you to be able to be with me, resting and enjoying. Your work's been done. Think upon the Lord Jesus. a place where you'll spend there's no night, no pain, no sin, and a peace that passes all understanding. That's heaven. Now, do you know the Lord? Don't assume. That word is if. If you know the Lord, you will be seeking these things which are above. You will be. And you'll be homesick for heaven and for the Lord Jesus and a closer walk with Him. Oh, there's a hymn. Let's sing a hymn. Then we'll have benediction and we'll have some response. And so what is the hymn? It's 672. That is such a precious hymn, and that is hiding in loving kindness. 672. Let's pray. And our Father, we ask this morning again that we might be able to live on a higher plane as we are here, dwelling upon this earth, and that our souls may know that it is well, that we have forgiveness of sins through Christ and a home in heaven. We pray that we providentially this morning, you brought us together. May your will be accomplished. We don't know how you do things, but we have confidence you do things right. And so, our Father, we thank you that there's a lifting from the sinking sand to the solid rock, our Lord Jesus. This we pray in the name of Christ. And now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Yes, it is our custom to have a little time of discussion and input concerning the passage of Scripture. These two commands that we looked at in Colossians 2 here, or Colossians 3. Perhaps you have a comment or some expression or question. And for the new man in Christ, we are protected. There is like protection around us, a shield. He will make it, won't we? But the world is certainly fascinating. And the world, the flesh, and the devil, those three things. Yes. All right, the Lord bless you.